If you go to the doctor and you tell the doctor, I'm sick, the first thing that he is going to ask you is, well, what are your symptoms? What is going on in your body to make you think that you are sick? If your car begins acting up on you and you see this light come on, we all love to see that light, don't we? And you take it to the mechanic and you say, well, my car is not running right. The first thing he's going to ask you, well, what are the symptoms? Now, some of you may have my luck. When my car acts up and I take it to the mechanic, it don't act up. It runs perfectly. You ever get that to happen to you? Yeah, I guess, don't know if it's just its way of letting you know that it is in control. I don't know. The fact is, if anything can go wrong, it will. And there are always symptoms when things go wrong. Whether it be illness in the body or your car going out on you or an appliance at home or whatever. There are going to be symptoms to let you know that something is not right. You know, people experience some of the same things in their lives in other ways. For example, people who are experiencing marital problems will show symptoms of that. And they are clearly seen even though usually the couples try to hide their situation. You know, you can't hide things very well when you are angry. Now, I've lived with my wife some 40 plus years. She don't have to tell me when she's angry. I can see it in her eyes. I can see it the way she walks down the hall. And I know that. For a fact that she's mad, and I can usually tell when it's me that she's mad at. When Alan's not around, it's always me. But you can't hide when you're angry. The symptoms will shine through, and you can tell. You'll see that red face, that wrinkled brow, that puffed up look. You can't, when you're angry, you can't keep from doing that, can you? And other people do notice. Tonight I want to suggest to you that sin does the very same thing to us. When there is sin in our lives, there are generally symptoms that cause it in our lives. So tonight I want us to look at some symptoms of sin. You know, usually it'll be symptoms that have to deal with denial. When we don't want to admit that there's something wrong with us, when in reality there is. You know, that's true when we find ourselves physically ill. We don't want to admit it. We want to deny it, and so we try to leave it alone. And what generally happens when you leave those things alone? They get worse, generally speaking. You know, Cain is actually a pretty good example of this. We read in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9, the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? He is becoming in denial at this point in time. Lord, I don't know where he is. He knew exactly where Abel was, didn't he? Exactly. So denial is one of the things that we need to, that we can tell when something is just simply not right. That when things that come out that shows an evil heart. So sometimes we do things and we may not think it looks evil or sounds evil or seems evil in any way, but in reality, it really does. You know, Jesus, when he was speaking to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35, he said, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil of his treasure brings forth evil things. So we know that things can show that we're actually developing an evil heart towards something in our lives, and the symptoms will show that. Guilt is also something that can help with symptoms for us to find out that you feel guilty about something. You remember when your children were at home and they did something that they should not have done, and boy, you can see that guilty look. And they'll say, oh, no, I'm fine. I didn't do that. But you know they did because they have that look. And again, it's something that they simply cannot hide. Defensiveness shows sin and that's part of guilt, shows sinfulness, and we make excuses for what we do to try to justify ourselves. Paul describes people who are maybe defensive in different ways in 2 Timothy 3. He said, as lovers of their own selves, they're covetous, they're boasters, they're proud, they're blasphemers, they're disobedient, they're unthankful, they're holy, they're without natural affection, they're truce breakers, false accusers, unrestrained, fierce, despisers of that which is good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, that's quite a list, isn't it? And they're all symptoms of when things are going wrong. You see, the fact of the matter is, I didn't think I had that on there. Disease, sin is a disease that will kill us. And sometimes we can't help but show the symptoms of this sin. James says in James 1, 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away from his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. Sin is a fatal disease. And we must be aware of some of the symptoms of sin in our lives. For example, there is the sin of forgetfulness. You know, sometimes we forget to pray. I'm guilty of this. Our lives gets into a hurry. We get into a panic and we're rushing to get something done and we just leave God out. We don't take the time to seek Him, to talk to Him. You know, Jesus began a parable of the unjust judge by saying that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. And then he tells, talking about his return, Jesus said, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things which will come to pass to stand before the Son of Man. We need to remember and not forget God and talking to God. Some people forget study of God's word. David said, Psalm 119 verse 11, thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, we never feel closer to someone unless we're communicating with them. Is that true? We can't feel close to God unless we are communicating with God. You know, God makes us alive. His word makes us alive. And how can you be alive in God if you don't know His word, study His word, have an understanding of His word? You know, Jesus said in John 6 and verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So we need to be careful about being forgetful. You know, we also sometimes forget who we are. Sometimes we forget that we are Christians. We literally belong to the Lord. Paul said this in Romans 14 and verse 8. He said, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. You know, as a Christian, we are to never give place to the devil. As a Christian, we are a follower of God, as Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 1, a follower of God as His dear children. So we're not going to forget that. We're not going to forget that we are indeed children of God. And then in Philippians 2 and verse 15, Paul said, you know, you are the light of the world. Jesus told us the same thing, didn't He? You are the light of the world, shining that light for all to see. We can't forget that. We can't forget that every time we walk out a door where people can see us, we need them to see Christ. We need them to see Christianity in our lives. Sometimes we forget our goals and who we live for as Christians. We live our lives unto the Lord. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and He died for all that those who should live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. How important it is that we live for the one who gave his life for us. We need to live our life in preparation for the judgment day. And every one of us in here knows that. We know that the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, according to Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We know that, don't we? So we know he's coming, but we don't know when. So therefore, we must always be prepared and not forget that he is coming again. And that's a symptom of sin. We simply forget all of these things. And then we have the symptom of carelessness. Not caring whether we grow in Christ or not. Do we want to be destroyed for willful ignorance? I don't think so. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 53. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. They have forgotten God. And to the point to where they don't even care anymore about God. Or about God's word and about God's laws. And we need to understand that the same thing can happen to us today. And God is going to deal with us just as he did with Israel. I want you to listen to the words from Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea said, and this is coming from the Lord through the mouth of Hosea. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. You see, this comes back on us. If we forget God, God will forget us. Sometimes we find ourselves not caring about the brethren. We are to love one another just as Jesus loves us. In fact, he said this. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This love for each other is second only to our love for God. Paul tells us in Romans 12 verse 10, be kindly affectionate toward one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Peter talks about this intense love that we should have for one another, and we should have it with a pure heart, according to Peter in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. So some people have developed the idea that they don't need to care for the brethren, and so they act accordingly. Not many people care about what others say. Solomon said in Proverbs 21 and verse 23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. My friends, we need to be careful with what we say, especially when we're speaking about other people. The busybody, words of dishonesty, the foul language, all of these things are letting people know that we simply do not care. All of these things are trouble for the soul. And they show lack of care for the brotherhood. And then we have the symptom of fatigue. Anybody in here ever get tired? I find myself getting more tired today than I did ever, really. The older I get, the easier it is to wear out. Some people get tired working for God. Just tired of doing it. You know, the Hebrew writer tells us that we must labor before we rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. There is work to be done before we can sit down and stop our work. You know, many Christians reach a point in their life where they think they shouldn't have to work anymore. They've worked all their Christian life, and now it's time for them to sit down and let somebody else do it. And I can't tell you how many people have actually told that to me. And my response is usually, well, are you still breathing? If you're still breathing, you need to be working. Now, I'm not going to say that you can do the same thing that you could do 20, 30 years ago. I can't do the same things I did 20, 30 years ago. But there are still things that I can do. Some people are tired. Some people are tired of hearing God's word. Some of you probably are getting tired of hearing me. Too long, too much. Too long? You know, in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 3, it says that he read to the children of Israel from morning to midday from God's word. Now, just imagine having to sit there and listen to someone read to you. You know, it might be bad enough having to listen to someone talk and preach, but just to sit there and read to you for a half a day, I guess I'd get tired of that too. The fact is that two-thirds of God's word that we read are negative. And do you know why? Because it's dealing with people who will not obey. That's what it comes down to. And that's why that we must listen to Paul and passages of Scripture like 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They're tired of hearing God. I've never heard God with my ears. I have heard God with my eyes and with my mind. May we never get tired of that. Sometimes we want things that are smooth. You know, things that are smooth is a symptom of rebellious people. The prophet Isaiah had to deal with this in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is speaking to Isaiah here, and he says, this is a rebellious people, lying children. Children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy unto us right things. Speak to us smooth things and prophesy deceits. You know, we all like to hear easy things, don't we? When we have a task before us, we want to know or think that there's an easy way to do it, when sometimes there's not an easy way to do it. But we don't want to hear the hard stuff. We don't want to hear the difficult stuff. We want to hear that this is going to be easy. And sometimes, friends, Christianity is not easy. In fact, probably more times than not. Many are tired of giving their all to the Lord. So they begin doing things like just going through the motion. And you know, the saddest thing about this is really quite easy to detect. First church that Pat and I worked with, one of our deacons and wife, developed this symptom. He was very active in the work of the church at this congregation. He would always sit up front. He would always take part in everything that was going on. And then we noticed that as little by little, they began to work their way to the back of the auditorium. He stopped taking part as much. She stopped some of the things that she was doing for the work. Next thing we know, they're sitting on the back row, arms folded, doing absolutely nothing. And then they were gone. And we didn't see them anymore. Isn't that sad? We can't do things half-hearted and gradual and think that others don't see it, and particularly to think that God don't see it. Brethren, we are to give our all for God. Jesus said, This is the greatest commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You are to give him everything that you have. And if you're not, it's a symptom that is easily seen. We need to love Christianity in an action way. You know, Christianity is not a passive religion. Christianity is an active religion. It is a get-involved religion. It is a do-something religion. And if you're not doing, everybody can see it. Everybody can tell that it's going on. And God definitely knows that it's going on. So my friends, when we see all of these symptoms, they're all symptoms of sin. They're all symptoms of turning around and walking in the wrong way. Symptoms of unfaithfulness. Well, what is the cure for that? What is the cure for unfaithfulness? The psalmist gives us the answer in Psalm 119 and verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. My friends, if symptoms of unfaithfulness go ignored, we will die in our sins. But I want to tell you today that the great Redeemer is here to keep that from happening in your life. The great Redeemer is here to save you. He is here to turn you back around, to move in the right direction. So tonight, if you are not a Christian, you need to get on the team. You need to get on the working team. You need to put your hands out and do something and work for the Lord. And if, as a child of God, you have these symptoms and you've stopped doing things for God and you begin making excuses as to why you don't, and you're doing less and less and less until pretty soon you're at the back, and then you'll be out the door. Don't let that happen to you. But come back to the Lord tonight and begin again working for Him. Don't put into your lives symptoms of sin. They are real. They are dangerous. They are deadly. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.